Anyone's life can change in a split second from a catastrophic accident or tragic event. After a diving accident resulted in him becoming a C5 quadriplegic, our guests learned that there are extreme gaps in the recovery process and few resources available to people after being discharged from therapy. So, yeah, guess what? He solved that problem by creating a foundation dedicated to making people aware of the growing but oftentimes invisible population of people living with disabilities. You're going to love meeting this amazing human. So stay tuned for the Start of Life live show. Let's glow, everyone. Hello and welcome to the Star of Life live show. I'm your host, Andy Lyons, four times founder and startup champion to founders around the world. And after raising four businesses of my own, I have a pretty good idea of what you're crawling through every single day, the high levels of uncertainty, the disasters that you're walking through, and the good times, those joyful moments, like where you feel like, oh my gosh, we nailed it. We did it. We're amazing. And sometimes that can happen in a 60-minute period of time, right? So I am delighted that you carved out time to tune in to the Start of Life live show to up your founder game. You know, when we listen to other founders' stories, we learn so much. And sometimes we get a gem or a golden nugget that we take right back and apply and implement to our own startup. So thank you for carving out the time, because as you do better, that's right, your startup will do better. And for those of you who are tuning in live, I'm waving madly, mwah, I'm blowing you kisses from here in Boston, as well as to the replay viewers. So happy you could join us, and podcast listeners, you're amazing. I hope you're doing something fun while you're tuning in. So many podcast listeners are folding laundry, waiting in line to pick up their kids, or traveling somewhere. So I'm so grateful that you're here. If you are tuning in via video, I'd love for you to go ahead and hit the like button. And if you're tuning in from YouTube, be sure to subscribe or click that notification button right there. And that way you'll receive an alert whenever I go live. And to learn more about each guest that I have on the show, please join the meetup group at Startup Life Live. The link is right there. Or you can scan that QR code. And this way you'll get a deep dive on whomever I'm having on the show, and you can see how it relates to your business. And again, grab those nuggets and gems for your startup. Here are some Andy Delicious announcements real quickly. As always, that's right, Arlen's Academy. She has everything that you need right there, all the information and advice and insights for launching a successful business. She's amazing and one of the most generous people I know in the startup space. There's a really cool event coming up in October with Jason Calacanis and his new platform called Inside. And it's Meet Our Four Fund. It's a virtual summit. You can register at meetourfund.com and join over 11,000 founders and learn from top VCs about raising capital and startup growth. And if you're a female founder, She Angel Investors has a wonderful program called 6 Ways to Fund Your Business. And it's funding made simple for female founders with the wonderful Catherine Gray. And if you're raising a seed round, I got to tell you, hop on over to see Hustle Funds, How to Raise a Seed Round. And Hustle Fund, if you don't know who they are, this phenomenal venture fund. And as they like to say, we were founders before we sold out and became VCs. So we know just how amazing and terrible startup life is. Our team brings real talk and real advice to our relationship. So check out the link in the show notes, or head on over to the link you've seen on the screen right there. It's a great read. And to download the documents that I'm always chatting about, please hop on over, grab some Andy-licious advice at buymeacoffee.com/Andy Lyons. There are free documents there. And of course, as I'm always saying, you think this charming personality runs on its own? No, caffeine really helps. Breve cappuccinos are my favorite. So feel free to buy me a cup of coffee. Let me tell you now, though, who we have coming on the show today, because this is an extraordinary human. I can't wait to share his story with you and have him share his insights and journey with you. So it's the phenomenal Mark Raymond Jr. And this is a gentleman whose life changed in a split second when he broke his neck after diving into shallow water while boating with friends in 2016. And during his recovery, he learned that there are extreme gaps in the recovery process and very few resources available to people after they've been discharged. So he founded the Split Second Foundation, an organization dedicated to making people aware of the growing but oftentimes invisible population of people living with disabilities. And what I really love is that within 3 years of starting the foundation, Mark was able to open Split Second Fitness. He'll go into details about this, but it's the first inclusive gym in Louisiana with an intentional focus on people living with paralysis, amputation, or other neurological conditions. You're going to not believe what this guy is up to day in and day out. Let me bring him into the room. Welcome to the show, Mark Raymond Jr.
Yay! Yay. Hey, Andy. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on the show today. I'm super excited to have this conversation with you.
I am so happy you're here. I love the sign behind you. What's next? Please tell everybody that wonderful vibe and way of being that you have based on What's Next.
So What's Next is a poster designed by a great friend of mine, Jaron Beasley. And as soon, like, he, first of all, he did it on an 8-foot by 6-foot canvas. So when I first saw it, it was like big and beautiful, and it hit me. So many people live life with the thought of what if, right? I live every day by what's next. What can I do now to change and impact somebody's life? So every morning when I wake up, that's the first thing that I see.
Well, you know, viewers who are fond of the show and tune in, and the fans, you know what this is right here, right?
Yeah.
We're starting off right away.
Stitch that on a pillow.
Stitch that on a pillow, folks, because it is all about what's next. Don't be hanging up any shingles, or don't be just hanging up your life way of being and your super cape yet. There's always something next for you to do. I want to welcome everybody who's tuning in live and remind folks, please, please, please be sure to share your own business with us. So if you're, you know, tuning in, we always love to amplify your brand, share your business name, one liner and website URL in the comments, and Mark and I will wave wildly and cheer you on. And be sure to also pop your questions into the comments and comment threads during our conversation. And those who are listening later, this is also a great opportunity and reason to show up live, because it's amazing what you can learn when you're here to ask our guest in person. So a big hello to Brent. Brent is one of our phenomenal fans that we have here, Mark. And he's from Canada. He's a diverse person, and he's always talking about in ways that companies and startups can support and have more accessibility for our disabled friends, visible or invisible, neuro or physical. You know, disabilities are there. And thank you, Ruth. So happy to see you. Ruth is from Nairobi, Kenya. She helps me out with the show. And we just love, love, love seeing you. And so happy that you're here as well. So before we dive into your background, because I got to tell you some great stories here, but there's something that you've been working on that I am blown away by, Mark. And that is, and I'm going to bring it up, we're going to have the little URL here, folks, but you have been part of a group of folks who are renaming 35 streets in NOLA. Talk a little bit about that.
So after George Floyd's murder, in the middle of the COVID pandemic, the world was in uproar, and I couldn't go outside to protest, right? I was nervous about catching COVID, and you know, there was so much uncertainty about how it would affect people with spinal cord injuries or different neurological conditions. So my way of protesting became me creating a petition to rename a famous street in New Orleans. I'm trying to remember the name because it's so unimportant to me at this point.
Right.
But it is now Norman C. Francis Parkway. The former name was Jefferson Davis Parkway. Jeff Davis was the president of the Confederate movement.
We need to move that along.
And that was the beginning of it. So that was in 2020?
Yeah.
Right, June of 2020? We got that street renamed in about 2 months, but it was the holistic process was created by Councilwoman at the time, Kristen Palmer, who was really like, Mark, we need to think bigger about this. Let's come up with the process to address all of the streets, parks, and places through one committee. And so the city council created the Street Renaming Commission, which I served on with 8 other members. And through that work, we identified other streets that honored Confederate soldiers and put together a team of researchers and historians to come up with recommendations for new names.
See, and that ties right into what's next. I mean, there you are. It's COVID. You can't go out in the streets and protest after George Floyd died, but you wanted to have an impact. Folks, go to NOLA, NOLACCSRC.org to learn about this incredible organization who is reframing the conversation by changing the names. We've got to get rid of those Confederate names on these big streets in NOLA and bring up some more relevant and proactive and better for our society and our democracy names. So I'll have that link in the show notes, but very powerful and a great way of, you know, how one can have an impact quietly, right, from your chair in your home. So thank you so much for doing that. And yes, folks, Mark is hanging out in New Orleans right now. This is where you are, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No, no better place to be.
So, Mark, you know, your story, of course, you know, as tragic as it sounded, you know, when it hit and how awful it was for you when it happened. Talk about how you came to feel called and compelled to launch a foundation based on your experience. Because, you know, most folks who have been 1 minute thriving, having a good time using all their parts and pieces, you know, when you have something that just, boom, is definitive and just stops everything and you have to completely rebuild your life from a completely different place and space. After you got through some of the initial grief and understanding that this is going to be a different journey for you as a human, why? Why did you feel like the need to launch a foundation?
Andy, I'll tell you, the first year was a struggle. There weren't a lot of resources here. And I felt isolated while simultaneously in grieving a loved one, the loss of yourself, like I was grieving. Every milestone, you're thinking about what you would be doing if that loved one was there or if you can go back, blah, 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 right?
Right.
I had to get out of New Orleans to see the bigger picture. And so I traveled to Sacramento to participate in this program at this location called SCI Fit, SCI-FIT. And these guys were amazing. It was an activity-based space, but really intentionally designed for people with spinal cord injuries to challenge what physical therapists had been taught in school and really push the bounds of what recovery looked like for individuals with spinal cord injury.
Right.
I found my light there. I mean, and those guys gave it to me. They picked me up every day. They walked me around the room. They were willing to go above and beyond the call of duty to challenge how much my body could recover from this injury from a strength and wellness perspective. And so I inevitably spent about 3 months there before I just, you know, I had to come back home. I was missing the food, you know, but I was talking to them there like, hey, I'm going to start something when I get back home. So,
okay. So they lit the light in you and what they did from what you're saying, is that they created possibilities. So a lot of times we get caged by so many things, yep. You know, often called limiting beliefs, right? But when you are physically challenged the way you are now physically challenged, these folks said, yes, but you could do this. And yes, what we've learned and our testing is you can do this. So it was not just in your mindset. It sounded like they were looking at possibilities for you to use your body.
Oh, yeah. And to your point about limitations, it wasn't just limitations from it was limitations from experience.
Yeah.
Right? They gave me the experience and the blueprint to challenge what the norms were in my New Orleans culture for recovery and rehab and continuum of care outside of the healthcare system.
Wow. And did you, before your accident, were you a leader? Had you had entrepreneurial role models in your life? Were you that kid hustling product in third grade?
I mean, I was the kid with a huge network. I was throwing parties, promoting, hanging out. I loved. I have a lot of friends and a lot of family. I wasn't really entrepreneurial, and I definitely was not a leader. I did not consider myself leader-ish. I was more like back of the bus, you know.
You go, causing, yeah, this is good.
Might be causing some ruckus and some mayhem, you know, kind of kid.
It's so good.
But what I've learned is like adversity shapes all of our experiences, and adversity controls human evolution. You know, once we face adversity, we start to innovate, then we create new technology. And then we evolve.
Oh, yeah. Napoleon Hill, one of my favorite quotes is, within every type of adversity is a golden seed of opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, that's not to sugarcoat it, folks. I mean, what you went through, Mark, horrific. And you had to dig deep to reframe your life and come to terms with that. And you did. And where you were able to redirect was with this foundation. So I just think that that's absolutely amazing. Let's say hi to some of the friends here who are live. Hey, Noam Platt. He says, hey, Mark, hello from NOLA and Gentilly.
Hey, Noam, how are you?
Yay. And then Jeanette, mother of five and an entrepreneur. Jeanette. Waving from Virginia. Yay. And then Mia Voss. Folks, you know what happens when I have Mia Voss in the room? We got to bring up her wonderful, wonderful podcast, which is, that's right, folks, Shit We Don't Talk About. Go to shitwedonttalkaboutpodcast.com. Mia is having the conversations with phenomenal guests and talking about the topics we all really should be chatting about, but we don't.
Mia,
thank you.
I've got some topics for you.
Exactly. Perfect. So, okay. So it's one thing to say, you know what? I need to change things here in NOLA. I need to change the landscape for people with disabilities. I need to be more of an advocate. I need to get involved with rights for people and more accessibility and better therapy and recovery. You know, so you can have all that yumminess, right? Like, oh, I want to do it. Where did you start? Because launching a nonprofit, folks, is so time consuming. Just getting the tax ID for your nonprofit will take months, let alone, you know, having to build all the parts and components. And you had so many other challenges and hurdles going on. Please tell us, where did you begin? Who'd you have your first conversation with after you got back from Sacramento?
My first conversation was with Melissa Sawyer, who is the executive director of another nonprofit here, the Youth Empowerment Project. We do a lot of great work with kids here and have a ton of different programs. She was super experienced. Her advice to me was, this is a lot of work. I was like, well, it can't be that hard. I got a degree in chemistry and physics. I'm sure I can figure it out.
Oh, wait. You have a degree in chemistry and physics, so you are a serious problem solver.
Yeah, I could figure out. You know, if you give me the formula, I could figure out the problem. That's the thing with chemistry and physics, right? It comes with some blueprint formulas, right?
Yeah. Businesses do not, folks. Anybody's telling you they've got a blueprint for you launching a business, for profit or nonprofit, they are lying.
Well, yeah. what I was good at though was figuring out the variables. And okay. To your point about the startup game, though, completely different space. Yeah. Had no idea where to start. I didn't even know what I wanted to name this thing, right? Like, who? How do you come up with a name?
How did you?
Funny story.
Okay.
My best friend, the guy who saved my life, one of the guys who saved my life, his name is Daniel Victory. Daniel owned a bar downtown Enola called Victory down on Barone Street. One day, me and Daniel were sitting outside of Victory, and I was telling him about this concept that I had for a nonprofit and the work that I wanted to do. And he was also deeply involved in, you know, me becoming more social and coming out and figuring out what I could do post-accident. He was like, man, why don't you just name it Split Second? And I looked at him and I was like, that's it. You're brilliant. That's it. That's the name. And I've been rolling with it ever since.
Oh my gosh. Folks, if you, on the video here, right? You saw Mark's eyes light up just saying the name. And this is years later. This is so important when you name your business. It has to be a name you just really love.
It just hit. He was like, dude, your life changed in a split second. And this happens to everybody like every day.
Right.
Do it.
For whatever reason, life can change for a split second. I love that. So then, okay. So again, with nonprofits, folks, you have to do a bunch of things at once. You have to identify board members. You've got to start looking around for donors to fund it. Talk a little bit about that process with us. You know, you can hire the accountant who's going to go ahead and do the chapter five, whatever it is, the nonprofit filing with the IRS, all of that, and get your tax ID going. But you still had to do the proper formation for a nonprofit. So what was your next step?
So after that bench conversation in December, it took me from December to April to figure out all of those steps and begin those conversations. I had identified a few people in my network that I thought would be good board members, and I wanted to have a diverse board. So my first thought also too was to have a big board because I would have more people who could potentially help donate and raise monies, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted lawyers. I wanted people in marketing backgrounds. I wanted CPAs. Business leaders, people with profiles. One of my best friends, Lance Thomas, the guy whose boat I dove off the back of, played basketball in the NBA. I wanted him on the board. So I assembled the Avengers, right, from a board perspective. And I hired an attorney to help me put together all the formation documents, mm-hmm. the articles of incorporation, putting together the conflict of interest policy, filing all the 501c3 paperwork with the IRS. When you have the right team, it literally does not take that long, and it's not that hard of a process, but it's all about having the right people, right?
Right.
It took me about 4 months to get to that point, and we were founded officially in April of 2018.
That's wonderful. And you brought up a really important point, Mark, which is, folks, the dream team. You know, Mark gave it thought, who was going to give him a lift, you know, on his board? And you can think about the same thing as a founder. Who is going to give your business a lift as an advisor? You know, in early stage, you know, people who aren't bringing in money, they might be so excited about what you're doing, they could come on as an advisor, as a mentor to the organization. I've done it plenty of times. You can find those folks and that's part of your job, right, Mark? You have to go and say, hey, so-and-so, come and join. This is a great opportunity. You've got to be really excited to get them to see your vision and mission, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the recruitment process. And then, you know, I like to use the Kool-Aid analogy, right? Like, you start with giving them a cup of Kool-Aid, right? And then you show them, you know, ask them if they would like to make some of this Kool-Aid, right? And then you give them the recipe, and now they're a part of the Kool-Aid factory.
But, so they're getting up every day and helping you out, which is so wonderful. And then how about donors? You know, I know you said you wanted to bring on board of advisors and in this case, a nonprofit, you have to have board of directors, folks. That's who runs your organization. You're an executive director. You are certainly the owner founder of your nonprofit, but it has a different governance requirement. So how did you get donors getting involved? Did you have an event or was it word of mouth? How did that happen?
So it was an event. Going back to that love, the friends and the family and the huge support system that I had in New Orleans, I knew I could leverage that to throw a fundraiser and raise the seed money for me to get going, right?
Yeah.
And how appropriate was it that my accident was on the 4th of July, and that was the day that I lost my independence.
Yes.
We named our first fundraiser Dependence Day to celebrate all of those who were dependent on others for care and for help, to raise money to help us advocate for the creation of this fitness center space that I had envisioned, as well as all of the other advocacy work around accessibility that I was doing. And it was a hugely successful event. We sold tickets for $75. It was my first taste at like trying to get sponsors and food vendors. And we ended up having like a little bit over 200 guests. And I want to say we only spent about $8,000 and we raised $52,000.
Oh my gosh. I have so many things to celebrate. I know listeners and viewers, you're feeling the same way. Dependence Day, celebrating that. I just can't tell you how much I love that, Mark, because when life happens where you are now physically disabled, you have to shift your entire understanding of what independence means to dependence. And Yeah. You have to get comfortable with that, right, Mark?
You have to get comfortable with being vulnerable with that too. And, you know, I think there's a, like, as human beings, we naturally like pull away from wanting on dependence, right? Like we want to be independent. We want to run around and do whatever we want all the time. Sure. Until something happens.
Right.
A hurricane happens or some other tragedy happens. And then we all like bunch in and lean on each other.
That's right.
And I'm like, so now that's just the way that I promote and support and everything that I do is about everybody else.
And I love that you took the accident and anybody who's had an accident and turned it into Dependence Day celebration. Yay! And you got to have your first, you dipped your whole being into your first like fundraiser and what that felt like. And you had a huge success because it cost you $8,000. And you made $52,000. That is a big wow moment. And I am cheering wildly for that because when you think about that first time, now you're getting press, right? Now the paper's talking about you. Local folks are talking about what you're doing. Now you've got the exposure you need to start recruitment. And before we go into that, though, I just want to say, hi, LinkedIn user. I know who you are. You're the no sugarcoating coach. Please let us know your name as well. Thank you for refreshing my browser brain. And she's saying, greetings. I'm a native New Yorker currently in greater Atlanta area, and I'm enjoying listening to Mark's interview. Coach Toy, yes, no sugarcoating coach, right? We were just talking about that's perfect. And I know, Jeanette, wow, this whole story is so amazing. And Mia, yes, you have to be comfortable with being vulnerable and letting folks do for you. And, you know, folks, this is where, oh, yes, and Ruth is sharing Mark's IG feed. Oh, my gosh, it's one of the best things I've ever seen, your Instagram feed. I love it, something fierce. Mark Raymond Jr., everybody, on IG.
I try to be honest and available.
You are honest, you are available, and you're showing how you're moving through life. And folks, you got to hop on over there just to see Mark after 6 years from his accident, walking with your mom, Mark. That was so beautiful. Tears dripped down my cheeks for sure when I saw that. And what were you using for your legs during that?
It was a robot. It's a robotic exoskeleton suit.
Yeah.
Called the EksoNR, EksoNR by Exobionics, a company based out of Northern California. And it's an amazing piece of technology. It's super lightweight, but it's very intuitive. And what people, a lot of people assume that, like, I just got in this suit and it walked me. It did not.
Okay, so what happened? Because that was really cool.
So the suit, it requires your, it requires you to do some work, right? Just like walking does.
Yeah.
You got to lean right so that your left leg could have enough room to swing through and take that step.
Wow.
And that's what I had to do. I was focusing every muscle in my body on shifting my hip right so my left leg could go forward, shifting my hip left so my right leg could go forward while maintaining my balance and my posture, keeping my head up high, working that core. I mean, it was a full body workout. At a gala, at an event to raise money. I told the physical therapist that was operating the suit behind me, I was like, dude, I gotta give a speech after this.
I may be too wiped out.
I got up to the center to like my landing spot and was like, all right, everybody, I forgot the speech. You can go home now.
What was it like to be standing? What was it like to be at eye level with folks?
It was the first time that I had been eye level in that space and in public, in that capacity,
yeah,
since the accident. And it was actually in that room. That was one of the last rooms that I was in. Priceless.
Yeah.
Can't like all of the feels, all of the emotions. Me and mom had a real emotional moment when I got up there. And I'll tell you this too. There was a song that I picked that I wanted to walk out to. It's called Bank On It by Burna Boy. And it starts off really slow and methodical. And when I first heard it, it just like spoke to my being. And I listened to that song like 10 times a day for 2 months, right? Just envisioning this moment, manifesting it. And when I heard the song start and when I saw those curtains open and I saw the lights and I saw the people, like I was thank God I did have to work to make that suit move, because I probably would have been crying.
It's just been boohooing the whole way.
Right. I just been,
oh, that's wonderful. And music. It's amazing how music can lift us up. That one thing that speaks to our spirit, yeah, that helps us really rise to the occasion when we're feeling like we can't do it. And good for you for having that music to just keep you moving forward, and then to have it there to help you walk in that suit and move forward. Oh my gosh.
I'll tell you this too. I didn't initially know how like my speech went, because I kind of, you know, it's like you checked out. And I went back and watched the speech because everybody told me like my speech was amazing. And I spoke about like the future and how I envisioned this world that, you know, we stop. First of all, we lean on community as much as possible to create solutions for these complex issues that systems and government can't, right? The healthcare system. It's so overregulated, and it has to be. But that's where community organizations like the Second Foundation can come in, create programs, add resources, and make sure that people are getting services that they need and they aren't falling through the gaps. And I just remember parts of that speech, you know, being I was so passionate. I was like, man,
you were probably just channeling right at that point. You'd been so focused that it came through that you didn't even remember. And I know, folks, you have all experienced that. We're like, what was it that I said? And everybody's like, oh my gosh, you know, bravo, that was amazing. You're like, okay, I'm gonna have to watch it later because I have no recall.
It really was. I was like, man, that was a good speech.
Yeah, so folks, hop on over to Mark's Instagram feed, Mark Raymond Jr. on Instagram, and you'll love his reels and everything. And Noam says here, Mark, your answers are super helpful as I try to get my own nonprofit off the ground. So Noam, be sure to stay in touch. Let us know how you're doing and how we can add wind to your sails. And when you do get it off the ground, make sure you come by again and share the URL so we can cheer you on. You have thousands of folks see the replay of this show and listen to the podcast. So it's a great way to amplify your startup. So let's go back to when you had your first fundraising event. How did that help you recruit? Because part of a nonprofit is getting folks excited to volunteer,
yep,
as well as, you know, paid employees, but, you know, you kind of get those volunteers, you know, in recruited, and it can't just be mom and, you know, your aunts or uncles or cousins or something. You know, you got to get some folks outside your circle. How did that go?
So I had two things going for me in that space. One, the mayor had just named me to the Regional Transit Authority's board of directors, or board of commissioners, actually. So I had that bit of publicity happening, and it gave me the opportunity to see how a really large organization ran and functioned from a organizational structure perspective. I mean, the Regional Transit Authority has, I think, 850 employees, somewhere really close to that.
Oh, so you got to see the nuts and the bolts.
Yeah. I got to dig in deep and see how all the machinations worked. And so going into that event, I had some publicity around that. There was a lot of energy around the work that I was trying to do in promoting accessibility and changing this narrative around New Orleans that was, we are this, you know, super inaccessible city that's outdated, that doesn't care about people with disabilities. So to answer your question about recruitment, the event was like the spark, right? That, you know, people saw and they were like, oh yeah, we want to help, you know, and it opened a lot of doors, a lot of people that I wanted to get meetings with and build relationships with, where it was kind of built from that initial spark. And that's so often all we need as startup founders, right?
Right.
It's just, you know, somebody to believe in the vision, right? In the mission. And for me, it was like, people were telling me like I had inspired a city just at the first event, right? And that, I was like, I didn't even do anything yet. You know, we don't have a program. We don't have a building. We don't have brick and mortar. Like, these are all just great ideas and concepts that I haven't even like figured out if it makes sense from a monetary perspective or how to support it.
Right. And how did you get there? How did you get there, Mark, as far as getting the building? Because then I definitely want to start talking about the split second fitness, because this is just so remarkable, people. But go ahead, talk about how you figured out where it should be located and any other nonprofit organizations that you partnered with.
Yeah. So after the event, I went through a startup accelerator. Shout out to Andrea Chin and Propeller, gopropeller.org.
Yay.
Noam, that's a plug for you. Propeller gave me the insight and education from a founder starter perspective on what I needed to do and how I needed to get going to get to that building, right?
Yeah.
Making sure the mission actually really fit what I was trying to do, as well as the vision, coming up with the logic models and thinking through donor data, building the website out, what information do we want to put on the website? You know, there's just so much stuff that goes into all of what we do before you get like this nice, neatly packaged thing that you can just deliver and say, okay, here's all these links. Here's this folder to all these assets. So that was 2018, 2019, going into 2019. In summer of 2019, I threw a second Dependence Day fundraiser.
Dependence Day.
We had more guests. This year we had, I think I raised $120,000 at this one. Had more sponsors, right? And after that one, that's when I started looking for a space for the gym.
Excellent. I'm going to do a little quick screen share here because I just love the gym. And I want everybody to see this because I think it is so important to really understand. Like, this is not something. Look at you there with Vice President Harris.
Yeah. The Vice President came down here when she was running during the presidential election cycle. So I got a chance to meet with her and speak with her about the disabled community and accessibility, you know, really briefly. She's a busy lady.
Oh, yeah. But still, that's a great photo op, and it gave me the feels too. And, you know, here's who we serve, you know, spinal cord injury, stroke, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, I mean, amputation, all sorts of things that you're helping and the benefits. And tell everybody that, you know, once you've figured this out, how through donations, you're able to keep the costs so low for folks.
Well, getting to that, so we charge $50 a month for our members with disabling conditions to come to our fitness program. With that, they get they get access to the facilities and 2 one-on-one sessions per week for between an hour and 90 minutes, depending on who it is, of exercise, right? The reason that I offer it at such a low cost is because the majority of my clients live on fixed income, be it either Social Security and have Medicaid benefits. So they have that $2,000 spending limitation and they can't afford these types of therapies, right? And so everybody's donation goes towards me keeping the cost of that program low. Right. My gala supports the operating expenses of Split Second Fitness and the foundation so that we can keep all of our costs low and impact more lives. Since opening the fitness center, we've impacted and had a little bit over 120 members to date.
When did you open the fitness center?
In February of 2021.
Oh my gosh. So we've only been a huge impact.
For a year and 6 months. And that's like a direct impact with clients. That's not their families and their friends that have come by to learn how to help them or to learn how to care for their loved one, right? And we're developing better ways to collect that that impact data, right? Because I think that's super important to donors, to your viewers who, if they click that donate link, right, they want to make sure that that money is going to what we say it's going to.
Yeah.
So also on that fitness page that you just had on your screen share was a 1 year impact report that we published from our first year just to give people, you know, an insight on what we were able to do thanks to those donations.
See, that's wonderful.
Yeah. As we get more intentional with like collecting that information, we'll have a whole page on the website dedicated completely to that.
Good job. Seriously, this is a lot to take on and to build out. And you did a phenomenal job in using word of mouth, organic marketing, by getting the press, by being part of, you know, different boards and organizations around town, by getting the word out, and certainly through, you know, the IG, Instagram reels, and that form of emotional branding and connecting with people so they can get really excited about your foundation. Do you think you'll be able to scale the Split Second Fitness? Is that something that you'd like to take to other states, other cities?
Well, Andy, my plan is to scale Split Second Foundation nationally.
Yay! And so,
you know, so we just also got a grant for $100,000 from Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Thank you, Blue Cross Blue Shield!
To launch a mental health case management program to basically help reintegrate into individuals like immediately post inpatient therapy into society. And we'll offer a bucket of services from one-on-one mental health sessions to group therapy sessions. We'll do CARES packages, help with home renovations, and really be like a quarterback and a guide in helping get people connected to all of those immediate resources that they need to enhance their quality of life immediately, right?
Absolutely.
If you or a loved one has a stroke, your whole world gets turned upside down immediately. And also depending on how severe the stroke is, right?
Right.
And for some families, that means the loss of two incomes, the loss of the income of the person who had the stroke and that spouse who now has to quit a job to take care of that person. And so like in Louisiana, in most states there's a lot of different agencies that offer support, but the processes to get that support is so mundane and at times difficult.
Yeah. Time consuming and just onerous, period.
Yeah. So my plan is to take all of these programs and program ideas and spread the love nationally.
That's right. And when that happens, and in a split second, when the primary person's life changes, so does everyone around them. A lot of times people have never been a caregiver before. They don't know what's involved, and they may have a lot of high enthusiasm initially, but then they get worn out quickly, and they don't know how to help because it's unique to that individual. Their mental health is so important. So I think you're calling it split second care. That's going to be the mental health component.
Yep. Split second cares.
See, oh my gosh, this is wonderful branding. It really, really is. And I'm holding your vision to be national. There's plenty of examples of organizations that have taken an idea, proved it in a city in a specific location, and then scaled it nationally. And I have no doubt in my mind that you are going to soar with all three of these components, but you know, under that umbrella of the Split Second Foundation. And you know, because I know that just lights you up whenever you say it, you know, Split Second Fitness, Split Second Cares, all of these facilities and will help folks succeed. And as you said, you know, what happens to so many people with disabilities, both visible and invisible, they become invisible. People sort of put them out of their mind. And that's not going to work either. And as you said earlier too, Mark, we have to get to the point where disability equals innovation.
Exactly. And coming to that other big barrier for folks, which is like the access to financial resources, the government has limited people's capacity to save money. And, yeah, you know, it brings me to some of the other work that I'm doing now with the National Association of State Treasurers.
Yeah, talk about that.
So the National Association of State Treasurers runs a program called Able Today to promote ABLE accounts. ABLE accounts and the ABLE, I was reading.
I know, Achieving a Better Life, everybody. ABLE, Achieving a Better Life.
So the Achieving a Better Life Experience Act was passed in 2014 by Congress. Yeah. And nobody really knows about it. I just found out about it in June. Basically, it created a new type of financial tool for people who are living on Medicaid and Social Security to be able to build and create wealth. If you live on Medicaid or Social Security, you most likely have a $2,000 threshold that you can't have more than $2,000 in your checking account at any given time. If you have an ABLE account, however, you can transfer monies into that account and save money monthly and begin to build wealth for things, whether you wanted to pay for college or buy a house, or there are other qualified expenses like expenses related to your disabled experience.
And it doesn't limit you then for creating, you know, a wealthy experience. Whereas before you didn't want to reach out and do more because you wanted to be able to get those funds. And then yet that limited you.
Well, what so many people were also doing was like just spending down the money.
Yeah.
So they would just go, you know, they had different things that they would just go buy instead of saving it, right? Because they didn't have the capacity to save money.
Sure.
You know, you're getting $2,000 a month and you can't, like, if I have $200 left in my checking account and I get another $2,000 and that puts me at $2,200, now I can lose all my benefits. Like, yeah, you know, it's a little crazy, but
it is a little crazy. So folks, it's ABLE, A-B-L-E, today.org, Achieving a Better Life Experience. I'll have the link in the show notes. Thank you for making us aware. I mean, I'm sure plenty of people tuning in were like, say what? ABLE what? Who knew? And this is what we always have to do. It's part of making life better for everyone. Right, Mark? Is giving everybody a chance to have a self-sustaining life. And Especially for those with disabilities where they are already, you know, celebrating Dependence Day, but do seek moments where they can be independent and have that delicious feeling like they did something that was on their own.
Exactly.
Oh, I love
financial literacy is an important conversation happening, I think, around the country and the world too.
It sure is. We had Ruby Joy. Everybody remember Ruby Joy? She teaches families financial literacy, and she's phenomenal. She had a split second moment in her life. PhD, therapist, working hard for years, car accident, brain trauma. She had to learn how to speak. She had to figure things out. And as she said on the show, it was just a year ago today, I think, too, when she was on the show, Mark, she talked about how and told everybody, look, it is going to take me a while to finish my sentences. Just practice patience. It was great.
It's important, you know. I've seen so many clients now with traumatic brain injury, and I know it's frustrating for her at times.
Yeah.
And going through that process of recovery too, but
yeah,
amazing work she's doing.
That's right, Jeanette. And Ruby's down in your neck of the woods too. She says, I love Ruby. She is amazing. She has these great cards. She's just phenomenal in how she's moving and grooving in life. And Brent wants to know how the startup world can support you. How diverse is Split Second, and how can we support you?
Well, Split Second is super diverse. My staff is super diverse, as I am a mixed person.
Right.
But no, I want to say right now our population is probably 70% Black, because we, or 70% minority. Let me say that. It's so hard to put people in buckets of Black and white for me.
That's right. You've got women, you've got people of color, you've got some members of the LGBTQ plus community. You certainly have got disabled covered.
All of that.
You got all the check marks happening there.
We are DEI. We got wheels, no wheels. We got prosthetics. We got brown, clear, purple people. We might have some aliens. Yeah. Just come by.
People who identify as alien. Absolutely. I love that. Can we talk about your upcoming gala? Because this is so exciting. Folks, look at this lovely piece of artwork right here. Save the date, 10-22-22, second annual Show of Love Gala, supported by so many wonderful sponsors, as you can see here. Supporting the Split Second Foundation.
Yeah.
Talk about what was the first annual like? Was that when you walked down?
Yeah, the first annual was when I walked out in a robotic suit and everybody was like, oh, right? So this one,
how do you top that?
That's the magic question. I'll tell you how. This year we are raffling off a car, thanks to Premier Honda for being a partner on that. We're raffling off a 2022 Honda Accord, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to be amazing. If you can't attend the event, and to all the viewers around the country, you can purchase a raffle ticket. And if you win the car, we'll figure out how to get you the car.
I love that. They'll figure it out.
Raffle tickets are $25. We also have a lovely silent auction full of experiences, hotel stays for all of my folks that are listening around the world.
Yes.
If you want to come visit New Orleans, you might want to look at one of these hotel packages.
100%.
But let's talk about Show of Love, right?
Yeah.
Love is a verb. And that is the theme of this event. Everything that Split Second Foundation has done has been out of love for the community, love for people who have so often been forgotten about, and figuring out ways that we could support them by creating programs like CARES, right? The end of CARES, the logo on CARES is literally a heart, right? Everything that we do is this burden of love, and that's what we plan to showcase at this event. We're going to have another exoskeleton demo this year. This time I'm going to put one of my clients in it, and he's going to talk through that experience of what he's going through as he's taking each step, right? How much of a workout it is. And then we've got some great entertainment. We've got a DJ, I can't even call him DJ, but Manny Fresh, the famous Manny Fresh, who's going to close us out. We got Big Sam's Funky Nation, famous New Orleans band, and a personal friend, also famous, DJ Rockaway.
Woo!
So we got some great entertainment. We got Vent. Oh my God, we have so much food. We have so much.
I hope so.
I worked in restaurants in college and built a lot of relationships there. So we've got like 14 restaurant partners who are going to provide a taste of New Orleans. So that part is going to be amazing. We've got alcohol provided by Sazerac. Sazerac is a national alcohol company. They own a ton of different brands, so they're providing the alcohol. They're also based here. But I got to give a huge thank you to our presenting sponsors, Louisiana Healthcare Connections, who was also the title sponsor last year. So they're 2 years in a row.
Thank you, Louisiana Healthcare Connections.
And Ladder and Bloom, Mr. Bob Merrick. Mr. Merrick had a sister who had a similar experience with disability. And the moment we had a conversation, we immediately connected. And he's been a friend and a supporter ever since. I'm just super excited for the work that we're able to do thanks to all of our sponsors. This year so far, we already have 35 sponsors raised $310,000.
Yes.
Our goal is to raise $1 million. We are trying to acquire this building so that we can develop accessible housing, have a bigger home for our fitness center in all of our programs, have education space, have yoga space, have a basketball court and a swimming pool. We're even considering acquiring a home health business so that we can get into the home health space and really help help from that perspective and kids with developmental disabilities. Andy, as you can imagine,
oh my gosh. I'm on fire for you, and you need to speak to Louis Mendonca. He was on our show here. He has a whole home fitness business. It's a franchise. They come to your home. They got the van. They're in two or three states already, and he's already, you know, moving forward with his franchisee license. He'd be a great brain to pick for providing that service. You are soaring with Split Second Foundation. I am so happy for you. Of course, I'm proud of you, but I'm so happy because what you've shared throughout the conversation is here was that you didn't do it alone. That so many people stepped up to help add wind to your sails, open doors, and lift you up literally as well as figuratively to accomplish this incredible vision, this incredible mission with Split Second Foundation. How are you measuring success, Mark? All of this, I mean, you know, where you were in 2018 and 2019 and at the gala last year, I'm sure that, you know, keeps moving. Where today are you feeling that success looks like for you and the organization?
I'm going to give you three stitch moments. I don't measure success by money anymore. I measure success by impact and how I make people feel. That's one. The other one, like we started the show with, I don't live in the what if at all. I live in what's next, right? Every day I try to wake up and solve a problem that will help other people. And thirdly and lastly, for so long, I think human beings have lived under this glass ceiling that the sky is the limit. The sky's not the limit. It's just the view.
All right. Here we go, everybody. One more time, because do I do it three times? Stitch that all on a pillow.
We're going to need three pillows, Andy.
Oh, we're going to need three pillows. And then, of course, I'm having one of these right now. A real Andy-licious moment. And it's why do you think that? Why do you say that the sky is the limit and it isn't? It's the view. Talk a little bit about that.
Because right now the ISS is circling around the planet with people looking down, right? We're thinking bigger. You got folks like Elon Musk trying to figure out how to get us to Mars and build colonies. But so often we still hear, you know, people in speeches with the sky is the limit. It's like, no, it's not anymore.
Nope, it isn't.
Way further than that. And
way further. And, you know, and sometimes when these really adverse moments happen to us, we don't realize what we're capable of. And I know, founders, you know that about yourselves right now. What you've learned about yourself, you had no idea you were capable of. And so, which leads me Mark, you know, two questions, because you've been very inspirational for us, but how do you inspire yourself? How do you motivate yourself when the days are tough and the days are dark, both physically for you, as well as with your foundation? Because I'm sure you've come up against some hairy days that were not fun and gave you concern. How did you shift out of an, oh no, why bother mindset and into where you are sharing it with us today?
It started with research. I would do a lot of, you know, with my science background, I was looking at stem cell research and all of the different research projects going on around the world. You know, there used to be two breakthroughs a year. Now there's like two a week. So, you know, I have so much hope for future treatments. And that was what used to get me out of it. What gets me out now, all I got to do is go to the gym. All I got to do is go to the fitness center. And somebody's going to be like, thank you, Mark. This is amazing. Or, you know, seeing other people working out, really like, man, just, like.
You just have to get up and look around yourself and go, wait, I helped create this.
I got to be down.
And listen, I know anybody listening here, you are going to remember Independence Day for the rest of your life and to celebrate that, you know. And Americans are very guilty of being too independent. And we need, you know, lots of folks who live in other countries are so happy to sometimes go back after they've been here for school, work, whatever, because they feel that dependence on their community where they're from. And we need to have more of that here. We see it during emergencies, but we need to have it as a daily practice. Yep. And that's what you're doing too at Split Second Foundation. You're celebrating the fact that we need to be dependent on each other in life. And you've done a great job at creating community through that initiative. How has entrepreneurship served you, both personally and professionally? I mean, this is something you certainly, you know, have cheered folks on. You're a great connector and all of that. But now you're in this whole nother role and you have had to figure out very difficult steps with this journey of raising a nonprofit. What are your thoughts around how this journey has served you?
I feel like I've learned my purpose in it. Once, you know, it's kind of like jumping off the cliff and hoping you'll fly, right? And it was that. And every day I feel like I'm soaring. You know, people come to me for advice about starting different companies or, you know, and I have different companies that I've started, a consulting company. I have hospitality plans. I have hotel plans. I have restaurant plans.
So oh my gosh.
You know, so many other doors. New Orleans is a tourist-based city. How can I leverage tourism for the disabled community and really provide that a better experience? New Orleans is also a destination for healthcare. So where are my people staying when they come here for, you know? It's just, it's like the idea, it's like a millipede.
I don't know how you fall asleep.
I don't.
There's so much like, oh, I could be doing this. But you do. You've had to practice taking that, moving forward, one wheel roll at a time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, just keep.
One cycle.
One cycle at a time. You know, that's so important. And you've been wonderful to share how we can help you. So folks, you know, go to splitsecondfoundation.org, donate to the gala, $25, buy a bunch of raffles. If you know someone that can add wind, you know, an influencer that could really help Split Second Foundation and Mark achieve their goals, their 1 million raise in 30 days now, you know, please reach out to Mark. I mean, who wouldn't want to chat with Mark and support this incredible organization? You have opened our eyes, our hearts, our minds, our bodies, just so much goodness today, Mark, through your story, through sharing how you have built this wonderful nonprofit. Any last words for the community before I pop you in the green room?
The key to success is perseverance through adversity.
Yeah.
And I'm just grateful that I experienced the adversity that I did when I did. I think holistically, the problems that I'm trying to solve aren't just for disability, it's for aging. We're all going to get old. We're all going to go through something and we're all going to perish. That's a part of this cycle of life. And I'm hopeful that the legacy that I'm leaving behind now will be a legacy of impact on people around the world. And I'm grateful that I get to speak with people like you and share my story and be a light in a world that feels so often dark.
Yes.
And disconnected and
lonely.
And lonely.
And isolated. Yes. And I think, you know, participating with this organization and, you know, considering bringing it to your city, folks, okay? Because Mark has expansion plans there. You know, if this is something that you think would be your city is ready for, you could be that person, the executive director, whatever that looks like, to bring it to your city. Be sure to reach out to Mark, and how to reach out to him will be in the show notes, okay? But share your email right now with folks.
My email is mark@splitsecondfoundation.org.
Perfect.
Please reach out to me today.
Well, I know I can't wait to come down to NOLA and hug you in real life. I call it hurling, hugging in real life.
Well, I got a great weekend that potentially come for.
Well, you know, I'm going to be buying some raffles and hoping and putting bids in on some experiences. That's what I'll be looking to do, Mark. Please, I'm going to pop you in the green room. Please stick around so I can give you a virtual hug. But I do need to wrap up the show right now. Thank you so much for sharing your journey with the Startup Life Live community today.
Thank you all for having me. Enjoy your day.
Thank you. Such pure joy. I don't know about you. I had so many goosebump moments, and of course, ditch that on a pillow moments, because Mark really delivered. But his insights, and especially the one around community, folks, you know, ways that we can be dependent on each other. That is not a bad word. That is a very good word and a great space and place to be. All right. So let me chat with you about who's coming up next on the Startup Life Live Show this Friday. It's Fab Female Funder Friday. We're chatting with Pascale Diane, a partner at Storm Ventures, and she's passionate about and committed to investing in female founders of early stage B2B enterprises. And her investment thesis focuses on sales and marketing, automation, AI, machine learning, Internet of Things, retail tech, AR, computer vision, and robotics applied to the enterprise space. So I hope you can tune in to that delicious conversation. And how do you know whenever I post a new show? That's right. You join the Startup Life Live meetup group. And that way you'll receive an alert and a deep dive into our guests. Oh my gosh. I'm so grateful you carved out time and you got to meet Mark and hear his story and be inspired by all he is doing and his real firm belief of how he has turned adversity into what's next, that golden seed of opportunity that's just around the corner. It's going to be so much fun watching him grow and glow over the years to come. Until next time, I'm wishing all of you a delicious day wherever you glow, and I'll see you next time. Cheers. Mwah.